Good morning. I was looked at my pool this morning, and that just developed on the pool without any help. It was just there. I was impressed. And that's also a barefaced lie. I want to compare creation and evolution today. And I'm going to start with John 1:3. It's a critically important verse in the Bible for me as a science person, because the Bible starts with "in the beginning God" in Genesis 1. And then you go to the New Testament, the book of John, we find out that Jesus is the God, part the Son of God, who made everything. He's the Creator. And the Creator came to die for us, die for me. So if you saw this pig scene, would you think that somebody did it? Well, absolutely. It's ridiculous to think it came by itself. Do you have any concept how much more complex you are than this toy? I mean, it's more than a trillion to one. It's insanely more complex. And men who hated God want us to believe that it all happened by itself. That's called evolution. But everything just didn't come together without help. So my three questions that I ask everybody, and ask the kids, what did God create? And go back to Genesis 1:1. I showed you John, now I'll show you Genesis. God created everything. Everything, heaven, earth, and us, how do we know there's a God? There are three ways. I think there's three ways to know about God. One, the Bible tells us there is. Two, His creation tells us, and I think on top of that, Jesus rose from the grave. Amen. He came and said He was God. He died for our sins and He rose from the dead. That's how we know there's a God. From Christ's death, also the creation, and also the Bible. That's why the Bible's attacked. I haven't even heard that old hymn, "The Bible Stands," in years. We used to sing it when I was young. "The Bible stands like a rock undaunted amidst the raging storms of time." So I'll first give my testimony. I was a science teacher. We're doing a rat dissection there. I went to see Daniel get married in Washington State, and this is the rest of my family. The buffalo was in Yellowstone, the geese were in my backyard, and Anita and I in our woods. A few years ago, that four-wheeler misfired, and I was on the main road, and it ran over me at high speed. And so I'm sore today. The aches and pains are slowly leaving me, but it's been over a year now. And we don't know why it happened, but I lived. Better than that, she was running head-on into a pickup truck when the thing took off. Talk about God. And the truck driver was a truck driver driving his pickup, and he was so quick. He told me after I got off the ground and stuff, and we have a talk, and he says, "Tim, 1 second." He said, "If I had turned that wheel 1 second later, she'd be dead." But he was quick, and he turned it so hard that my four wheeler scraped the whole side of his truck instead of, and she didn't get hurt. That was a blessing to me. And today's our honeymoon, by the way.
Yeah.
It's 37 years honeymoon. So what changed an evolution teacher into a creation teacher? And I started off trained to teach evolution. I was in a conference in Pittsburgh, and Bill Nye, I got a picture with him. And then this is another science guy here. And where I taught in northern Pennsylvania, and we're just looking at things. The difference between Bill Nye and that scene is that we were looking at things, and he has to believe things. He makes everything up. He moved to astronomy, by the way, and now the Big Bang is everything. So here's where it started, my testimony. I'm in six years old in a kindergarten art class, and it was in a basement, and there was windows just like these. They were long windows. And I'm sitting there, and I decided to make an elephant. without, we had clay, make an animal. So I made a good one. It wasn't quite that good, but it was good. And I'd been to church, and it was Disciples of Christ my parents went to or something like that. But I saw a picture of Jesus knocking on a door in a garden. That's a famous picture. By the way, the Jewish man didn't have long hair in cuts and stone carvings from that era. And that long hair came from the 14th century. A pope had a picture, had his son drawn. And that picture, the famous picture of Jesus, is the pope's son. And it's a turn to Jesus today. Anyway, I'm there making my elephant. I looked up that window and saw the light coming through. And I said to God, just me and God, I said, God, would you let me follow on your path? That's it. I'm a six-year-old. Can I follow on, would you let me follow on your path? And with the idea, and he knew my heart, if I fall off, please pick me back up. And that's exactly what happened. I can cry right now. From 6 years old, I wasn't saved. Or if I was, it was a process. Then I grew up and became a science teacher, and I was taught to teach evolution. They taught me in college how to trick people into, like, they said, if you want people to believe in macroevolution, that's a blob to a man, show them microevolution, things that actually change in kinds that don't are still the same thing when it's over. It's like bacteria and virus. And he told us that you get kids there and then you hook them and they'll go with you for evolution. And I had a job in the summertime where I was driving a truck home from the forestry. I had a team in the woods of kids and working with the foresters. And the radio was on. I think it was Jack Van Impe, but I don't know. And he said, you atheists, why don't you pray the atheist prayer? And the atheist prayer was, God, if you're real, would you show me? And I heard it, and I thought, I don't want to pray it, because if there's not a God, I don't want to know it. Months pass, and my buddy, relatives come up to my house in northern PA, and he says, Timmy, let's go coon hunting tonight. And I said, they're paying $50. I was a trapper. And he said, we don't need dogs. Really, John? How are we going to do that? Two flashlights. We're going to be rich tonight. So we go to the bottom land of Pine Creek, and it's all thorns. I'm getting torn to shreds. Let's go to the top of the mountain. We go up to a white pine stand by Ansoni, where I live. We're walking through the woods with the two flashlights, and he says, just move it and walk. And that's what I did. And I heard deer or something over here, and he says, Timmy, that's coon. I says, it's probably Timmy, it's coon. You stand here and just don't move. Just move your light. And I'll turn my light off and go around the sound, and I'll turn my light on behind them, and when I turn my light on, they're all going to tree of whatever there is there. And yeah, John, sure, but I'll do it. So I'm there, duh, hi, coon. He goes around, turns his light on behind the sound, and between me and him, we both saw it clearly, seven raccoon treed in seven different trees. That happened in my life. Now, God's using this to bring me to himself. I didn't know it then. I just saw the $350 I was going to get from skinning those coon. I was trapping. And first coon, I had a 22 pistol, Ruger, 6-inch barrel. I could use it. And I took a kill shot at the coon. The first one, probably the mother, but they're all the same size. And she fell, and I just watched her die. And then the second one, he says, Timmy, let me shoot. Okay. So he took the gun, and it's behind a little, it's white pine. There's puffs of needles here and there. He said, I can't get a shot. I said, I'll climb up, because it's easy to climb a white pine. I'll shake it, and they'll come near the middle. And I wasn't afraid for that. He just wanted to get them. Well, he came pretty near me. He said, okay, I got a shot. And I looked down at him. I'm looking down the barrel of my gun. I'm looking right down the barrel, pointed, looked like at me, and he's beginning to pull the trigger. And I thought to myself, I'm going to die. And so I stepped down pretty hard with this leg. And when that branch broke, you know, white pine, they're all dead underneath. This one, and this one broke at the same time. And I fell 15 to 20 feet in that range and hit the ground sitting down. And my back broke. They told me when I got old, and I'm old now, it would hurt me. It hurts. I'm standing here with mild back pain. But I sit down a lot. I can fight it. I like to swim. I couldn't breathe. I laid there in the ground. And I'm just like the coon. And he comes over, "Timmy, Timmy." I couldn't talk. But he put my head on his leg like a movie scene. "Timmy, Timmy." And I begin to get some breath. And so I thought, what's my last word probably going to be? And so I said to him, "Tell my family I love Jesus." I barefaced lied. I just wanted to sound good. You know, at the funeral, he's in a better place. I just wanted to go well with the family. But instead of dying, the feeling came back into my body, and I felt the pain that I have never experienced or probably ever will again. Head to toe pain, your toenails hurt, but racking pain. And I said to him, "Let's get out of here." I says, "How?" I said, "You get a stick." He didn't see it was rotten when he got it. "And I'll one arm and I'll go down and you'll just carry me out." And when he got me up on the stick broke and my back was broken back. I rolled on the ground a few times. Pain. "I'll get another one," he said. He got a tree this time. We got down to the bottom. The game warden, 6'6 game warden, Lynn Wimple, was waiting there at a barbed wire fence where we would have to stop to get over. I couldn't crawl, so I was on my face, pulling myself in tufts of grass under the, he was holding the barbed wire up, and he pulls a gun on us. "You're under arrest. You can't hunt coon after midnight in Pennsylvania." And he had a deputy on the side and trained a rifle on us. And John starts crying. "Help, help. He fell off tree, he broke his back." When Lynn Wimple saw that I was hurt bad, he said, "So sorry." He put his gun away. I'm sorry. "I've been for 2 hours watching you guys sneak down. I thought you were sneaking down the mountain." He says, "I'll take you to the hospital. I'll call an ambulance," he said. And I says, "No, I didn't pay my ambulance insurance." So I got in my back of my car. John drove me to the hospital. He had lights on the whole way in. And they came out and they said, "Now don't move," and put this board in my back, wrapped it real tight, and took my neck, everything. And I'm so big, they couldn't get me out. They kept smashing my face into the window and smashing me on the top. And there's four men there trying to get me out. And I'm a klutz. And I said, wait. I crawled off a mountain. Let me just slide out of the car and then put it on. And they said, "Oh, okay." So they undid the board. I crawled out of the car, laid down. They said, "Now don't move." And they put the board on me. And I got about 2 a.m. I got morphine finally. The prognosis was L2, 3, and 4 were compressed 20%. And so the nerves were being pinched and all that stuff. And the only way to get better was not to sit up for weeks. So the doctor finally sent me home. He says, "For 6 weeks, you don't sit up. But what if you want to watch TV and you can't move? You crawl down a board like a worm on your bed through your trailer, across the kitchen to the living room, you roll up and you watch TV. You can't change the channel," but I was there at the TV and a Christian talk show come on. I don't know who it was then, but at the end they had some old white-haired men with King James Bibles reading. And I'll cry right now just every time I think about it. But he was in Romans 8 and he got to verse 34. And he read, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again." When I heard those two words, I fell apart. It hit me that Jesus was real. It was all real. I kept saying to myself, "He's real, he's real," as I laid there crying. And I didn't have to be saved for half an hour, just in shock that there's a God. He let me know he was there. And so I'll say this to you, the verse he opens, blind eyes and deaf ears. You want to be saved, he's got to do the opening. That's just what I found out in my life. God opens blind eyes and deaf ears. And he opened my deaf ears that night and blind eyes. And then I have all these evolution stuff I'm teaching. And I've been given a book by Morris and Whitcomb called The Genesis Flood. A pastor, Baptist pastor asked me, that's why I'm Baptist, and he gave me a book after that time. And I read at it. But what I did was I looked at a leaf the next day, or when I could stand up in my trailer. I said, maybe a maple, and I looked at the venation of the maple leaf. Now, he had given me eyes to see. Things change. I didn't see veins. I saw math. It was mathematically perfect. And I kept, whoa. And that's the tip of the iceberg. I went back to school. I started studying. I found out what some things I'll tell you today, but That's how God saved me. Evolutionist. So questions I ask God or that are good ideas from the Bible, and these are things I tell to kids and to anybody. These four questions, and I think all of them will get you, if Jesus is willing, to get you to God. And my kindergarten request, he kept it, but I was in my late 20s, 6 years old to then. The atheist prayer. I heard this from the radio, preaching radio. Pray the atheist prayer. God, if you're real, show me. And I did. That's what I prayed. And then there's two verses in the Bible that I think are precious. And one is, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Is there a better prayer? I don't know that there is. Except for the last one. There's one prayer in the Bible that Jesus liked. You know what I'm talking about? They went to the temple and there was two men praying. And the publican prays, oh, thankful that I'm so good at everything, or whatever he said. And the publican wouldn't even lift his head up. Amen. Lord, oh, no. That's what the publican said. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, isn't it? Yeah. When Jesus came off the mountain and they couldn't cast out the demon, Jesus went to help them. The Father said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Those are my four prayers. I'm just enjoying the sharing of Christ with you. He changed my life. So, I got two choices. Now, at the end, he opened my eyes. But science says, take my word for it. God says, take my word for it.
Amen.
Right? For in 6 days the Lord, here's God's word, made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Matthew, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. I found out that as well as God being real, the Bible was real. And it says somewhere every word of God is pure. And thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And I ran into that, because I had all kinds of Bibles. I had a living Bible. And it didn't have all the words. It didn't. I ran into fanatic, heretic nuts like David, Brother David, who started telling me things at that Bunyan conference with John Reisinger. And he just stuck with the Bible. He said, well, brother, the Greek says, Romans 7, and we became good friends from then on. And I started to learn that there's different Bibles, and if you study history, if you want to do it scientifically, you would want to take the Bibles that the apostles used. And that's the Byzantine text, there's thousands of them. Or you could take Origen's text, the Alexandrian, that's the Vaticanus Sinaiticus, and maybe 20 more, uncials and papyri, but they're different. And some of the differences are insanely important. Jesus says his words won't pass away. I'm thinking until the end of time, we'll have his words. Okay, science is observational. You observe science. And so, if you observe things, and what I do in my teaching is I show them the flood. There's a flood and God's word is truth. Evolution, there's no confirmation. A man named Lyell made the millions of years up because he didn't like Moses. First five books, the flood. And so he was a lawyer, he's now the father of geology and the earth is old. They never had any observable, they took the layers of flood mud, which are flat. Things erode. You can't lay a ground for 1,000 years without erosion. You can't have your field in the backyard for a year without erosion. Things erode. But all the layers on earth everywhere are flat. So Lyell saw this, but he changed it to everything is as it was from the beginning. In other words, he came to this. This is evolution's formula. 2 plus 2 is 5. And they'll die for it. And they taught me to teach it. one way or another. Time's the hero of the plot. The evolutionists use time. Given enough time, the impossible becomes... He won a guy won a Nobel Prize for that sentence, to defend evolution. The possible becomes probable, the probable becomes virtually certain. Given enough time, 2 plus 2 can be 5. That's the thinking of evolution. The only problem is it's ridiculous and it's wrong and it goes against common sense.
Amen.
And then part of his, what this man wrote, one is only to wait. Time itself performs miracles, and that's all evolution has. The unseen past, and they can make up anything they want. And the more honest ones will grab on to things like in astronomy or in biology, like fossils. So there's no in-between forms. Must have been punctuated equilibrium. Like they stay the same, then they change to the next thing, and there's no fossils to show it. That's the current theory. So you've seen that. That's evolution. And science has to be, you have to be able to observe things. You can't draw the cartoons. You can't make the images. And evolution is almost all images. People draw them, right?
Yeah.
It's never been observed, never repeated, and it's made up stories. And if I had one slide in this whole thing to tell you evolution is false and creation is true, it would be this one. If you want to look at it scientifically, it has to be observable.
Amen.
And you have to repeat it. Now they're calling that empirical science. When I was young, they just called it science. Anything in the past, like fossils, it's just whatever you can see. You have to interpret it, that's all. Okay, no conflict with the Bible, none. And so, I'm beginning to believe, like with Ken Ham and many others, scientists, that without Genesis, you might as well throw away the Bible. Because the cross means nothing unless there was a real Adam.
Amen.
And that's incredibly important.
Yes.
And so when I heard Andy Stanley throw the cross, only he said, it's only the cross we can throw Genesis away, it's all wives' tale. I heard him say that. And many others, and many people who, in this crowd, the people we respect. This is Jason Lyle. He has a thing, biblical science. He's very good. He's an astronomer, and his work is flawless. The Earth is billions of years old. Take my word for it. I created in 6 days. Take my word for it. And there are Christian scientists around. In fact, science was invented by Christians. Now I'll try to go through this quickly, but the greatest scientists were creationists. Louis Pasteur is the father of biology. Now let's go on. Let's take Isaac Newton, one of the smartest men that ever lived. George Washington Carver, a brilliant man. Agriculture, you eat well today because of his thinking. My hero, of course, is Louis Pasteur. I was in biology, and he dispelled that germs come from nothing. Spontaneous generation. Everybody believed it. Pasteur said, germs come from germs. And he proved it. And so the law of biogenesis is the only law in biology today, and they are afraid to say it. Fathers of modern science, astronomy, chemistry, insects, entomology, nervous system, spinal cord, electricity, magnetism, modern agriculture. There's more than that. There we go. Pasteur, germ theory. And then Newton. He wrote the book. Newton wrote the book. I can't say enough about him. But let's go on. I took two of them, Maxwell and Newton. I take the time to read these. Okay? Newton, he said, quote, of the presence of God is the only guarantee of true self-knowledge. Everything else is mere fiction. The consciousness, fancy portraiture, done to please one's friends or self, or to exhibit one's moral discrimination at the expense of character. And he's defending the presence of God there. Everything else is mere fiction. That was his thinking. Maxwell, big scientist, I think it's electricity. Newton, like the heavens, the most beautiful system of the sun, planets, comets could only proceed from the counsel and dominion of an intelligent and powerful being. This being governs all things, not as the soul of the world, but as the Lord over all. That's Isaac Newton, the greatest scientist that ever lived. And on account of his dominion, he is wont to be called Lord God or Universal Ruler. That's the men who invented science, guys. The fossils show evolution. In other words, I learned this in school. So did you if you went to public school. That there was a proto-horse, and then they kept developing to today's modern horse. But they don't tell you that as they looked at fossils, they found all these around the same water hole, fossil-wise. In other words, they lie to kids. I guess I did too, teaching the biology books. There's different kinds of horses, right? The big and little. Both of these are adult horses that live today. Same water hole. And this is goes across every bit of biology, it's true. Saying today, could people be willingly ignorant, refusing to believe things that they're in their face? And so evolution, creation, this verse is so important. If you're going to talk evolution, this verse has to make your list. It says, knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. We're in those days, right? And saying, where's the promise of his coming? And this is why Lyell said this. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And we call that evolution. And the Lyell's student was Darwin, 100 years later. This is the verse that, if I had one verse to give for this talk, it's that we're fighting ignorance. We're not fighting science. We're not fighting men who are deliberately lying all the time. Some of these scientists are from my friends, and they think they're right. But they're willingly ignorant of God. Why? Seeing they can't see and hearing they can't hear. That by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then being overflowed with water perished. That's Peter talking. And I told one of you last night that I have a collection of verses on creation. I'm up to 230 and throughout from Genesis to Revelation of things like this. Are kids brainwashed? Is the world using dinosaurs to draw them away from God? And I promise you they are. I worked in that school. Okay? Big Bang, whatever. And if you look at the books, it always says millions of years. Every kid that goes to public school. And I got my kids out as fast as I could when God saved me. Willingly ignorant. Willingly means they don't want to know about God or the world he made, even with the evidence of nature in the Bible. They don't want to know God. Now, I'm closing here now. There's some great creationists, and they're worth your time. Yes?
I just want to ask a quick question, if that's all right.
You can ask who?
About the dinosaurs. You mentioned that the dinosaurs, the world is using dinosaurs to draw kids.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Millions of years. And then when they hear the truth, that's not true. They're millions of years.
I see.
I've heard that so many times, and it's pervasive. Ken Hammett spends multi-scientists and lecturers to try to explain why this is wrong. And so ICR is the best, I think, and creation.com is amazing as well. You can look on the internet and see some of these people, and I would direct you towards some of these things that they're worth looking into. And I was at, is Genesis History the best thing I have seen? It's an hour and a half. You're free. Just write his Genesis History. Now there's a second one on geology of the Grand Canyon, part 2. But part 1 is probably the best instruction for creation and good science that I have seen. And there's tons of good material. That's Steve Austin. Years ago, when Dr. Morris came to a conference at Pittsburgh and D. James Kennedy went there, I went there as a young Christian. And I got to ride an elevator with D. James Kennedy. And Dr. Morris and Dwayne Gish was there, and I sat around it from my, we were in a dorm room with all these scientists from around the country. By the way, some of them mentioned that there was real Bigfoot tracks in California. I didn't even forget that. But, well, Steve Austin said when that volcano blew, he was there and he started running for his life. But it comes at like between 1 and 500 miles an hour. You're not going to run away from it. And he said, it's so hot it would kill you instantly when it rolls down through. He said, he went over a hill, went down in a hole in a valley, and he said the thing went over his head. And he lived. And he's the guy in Penn State that showed that coal didn't come from swamps. Coal is leaves falling on mud on the bottom. Just like in Mount St. Helens in that crater lake. They made layers and layers of plants that will turn to coal given enough time. This guy is named James Tour. He's a Jewish man. Today he's with Jewish Believers in Jesus. And he's been, in the last 10 or 15 years, he's been the number one scientist in the world for several of them. He's been in the top 10 scientists in the world all the time. He's brilliant. And he didn't know diddly squat about anything. But his work with DNA, his work with pre-DNA chemicals, and the chance of any of them happening is zero. And it's fun to watch him give a lecture, because he's a Jewish guy, he doesn't mince words. Here's some, Randy Galuz is excellent. Jonathan Sarfati is with creation.com. David Reeves is probably the biggest right now. And we were at a conference in Virginia at a park, and he was one of the speakers, and Anita and I, he said, who wants to come out and learn how to find stars with your camera? I'll teach you. And Anita wanted him to teach her, and he did. So at lunch the next day, we gave him a bottle of our honey. But he's amazingly good with stuff. And then Calvin Smith with Answers in Genesis is better than Answers in Genesis. He's incredibly good, and these are YouTubes. And he says things that are spot on, biblical, and I like the King James has all the words, and some of them don't use it, but they just don't know any better. All right. Real science is always two things. And I'm observing that timber rattlesnake. Worked for the forestry. Now, they taught me how close you could get. There's a certain distance that if you don't go past it, you will never get bit. And so I'm at that distance right there. I don't know, maybe 2.5, 3 feet-ish. And that was a female. She was gentle. They're gentle snakes. Diamondbacks are not. Evolution can't be observed. We can observe things. Evolution is all guesswork. It's based on a theory. Okay? It's neither observable nor repeatable. And without God, men are blind. They don't see how silly this is. I'm not going to play this out. I was in a prairie going across, and I was walking through a buffalo herd. And they were far away, and I saw this big pile of something. It's a buffalo dropping. And the settlers use these for fuel. They must not have smelled it. And so I went and I picked it up, and it weighed nothing. It was like styrofoam, and so there was no smell. It was long gone, smells gone. And it was beautiful, so I took it home to my classroom for the rest of my career. And the kids could see my buffalo droppings. I'll go on. Need I say any more? You can trust the Bible. You'll never be a great Christian until you come to the unshakable conviction that the Bible is the Word of God. Amen. And that's where I stand as a creationist. God that made the world and all things therein. When Paul went to the atheists. They had nothing to do, they had no background in Jewish or Christian. If you're church people or you've been a Jew, you can get to Jesus and the cross pretty quick. But Paul didn't do that. And he didn't get 3,000 souls that day. He got a handful. And yet he got more people than Peter ever did as God worked in his life. But how did he start? God that made the world and all things therein. And when you're talking to unbelievers, it's a good thing to bring up creation. They have no concept of anything else other than there's a lot of evidence for creation. Seeing he's Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. And so I started with this, I'll end with this. Did that get there by itself? Did this just happen? And put your human body there, it's even more valid. God who made the world. Amen. It's God's world. Trust Jesus. Thanks for coming.
Amen.
Can we close in prayer?
Sure.
Is that what you want me to do it?
Yes, please.
Thank you, Father, for these men. Sir, may these and myself even be used by you the rest of our lives.
Yes.
To lift up Jesus through the power of your Holy Spirit. And please be with us and go ahead of us. And may we meet again with you, sir. I praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.